This message tonight is a very unusual message as we look at chapter 3. Job, after they sat in silence for 7 days, Job began to speak. Job opened his mouth. You remember about Job, how that he was tried so severely and he never sinned. God, he never charged God foolishly, never sinned with his mouth. He said, the Lord give, the Lord taketh away. And he said, shall we receive good at the hand, shall we not also receive evil, or even trials and burdens and afflictions. So, those men had come, I don't know how long Job had sat in the ashes before those three men came. But they came and they sat silent for 7 days and 7 nights. And they're just silence. And then Job starts talking. And I would read the whole chapter, but I'll read 10 verses and then we'll deal with that. And then we'll read a few more and we'll deal with that. But look what he says. They saw that his grief was great. Remember that? They saw how great his grief was. I mean, this man's suffering. Oh, he's suffering so much. The men didn't even recognize him when they saw him. And after this, after the 7 days and 7 nights of silence, Job opened his mouth. First thing out of his mouth was, curse the day. Curse his day. What am I even doing here? Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light thereof shine over it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come unto the number of months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut up not the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid her sorrow from my eye. That's some pretty tough words, ain't it? Huh? And what you're listening to is a man who's absolutely overwhelmed with suffering. He's absolutely overwhelmed with suffering. And men have suffered in all ages and are still suffering, and they'll suffer till this end of time. But can just as far as a man goes, just as far as a man goes, can anyone conceive of the sufferings that Job went through? Job went through things that's just unimaginable having to go through. Unimaginable. He suffered in all of his service. He lost all of his life's work. All of his life's work. In just a matter of moments. In a day. I mean all of his life's work. And he must have been an elderly man because he had 10 children. And oh my. And then he suffered in his body. Boils was all over him. Satan had smote him with boils from the crown to the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And he got pots, a bunch of old pots, and broke them and scraped himself, sitting in ashes and put ashes on it, trying to get some relief for himself. And oh, his heart. Oh, his heart. Can you imagine how his heart was hurting? His heart was bleeding. His heart was bleeding. His faithful servants, his sons and the daughters, all of them gone at one time. Bad enough to lose one child. Bad enough to lose two. But to lose 10 all at one time? 7 boys and 3 girls? And we look forward to babies coming. They just got, Brad and Pam just got a brand new baby girl. grandbaby, granddaughter. That's good news to them. I'm sure when Job's children were born, it was great news to him. But you imagine how his heart's bleeding. So you listen to how he's talking. So you got to understand the condition this man's heart is and the trial that he's going through. His wife, instead of comforting him, taunted him and became a burden to him. And in his mind, oh, how he suffered in his mind. And he thought and tried to find answers to his questions. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. And his belief in God Almighty was tried severely. And this great trial that come upon him clouded his judgment. His judgment was so clouded. And what we're listening to is the language of a man who is suffering so greatly. And a man's language is according to what's going on in his life and going on in his heart. And one thing about Job here as he suffers is he uses a very, very excessive language. He gets carried away with his language. You know, instead of somebody, you know, we've preached about how he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Oh my goodness, what a saying. He said, I receive good times, the Lord shall also receive evil. Told his wife, she talked like a foolish woman. Now he comes to, first time he opens his mouth. This is after he's already suffered. You ain't heard him say a word. And they sat there, and these men come for long. How long has he been sitting in the ashes? I have no idea. But instead of the expressions of a saint and the words coming out of a saint, it sounds like a soul of a man who is hurting, that having a, like his mind is just almost crazy and almost ravening. And his words are so strong and they're so excessive. And they don't seem to be natural. They don't seem to be like Job at all. But listen, remember how suffering he did. And I know this, beloved, and so do you. Great sufferings cause great stirrings in your soul. When you have great bodily sufferings, mentally sufferings, physical sufferings, sufferings and heart sufferings, it'll cause you to say some things that you ought not say. And that's what Job is doing here. When all's well, there's hope. And if you have any fear and you got love in your heart and in your mind, you're not often expressed that. But oh, here comes suffering to poor old Job and the passions. Oh, the things that broke forth from his mouth even surprised, no doubt surprised those that listened to him, but surprised even the best of men. The best of men. You know, here he mentions darkness. Look what he says there in verse 4. Let the darkness, let that day, the day I was born, be darkness. Verse 5, let darkness and the shadow of death stain the day I was born. So he's talking about darkness. You know why he's talking about darkness? Because he feels like he's in darkness. He feels like he's suffering darkness right here. And I tell you, these stirrings of the soul, I mean, he just could not hold it in any longer. Couldn't hold it in. Some, you know, they have the ability to restrain them, their feelings. But sometimes things come upon a soul that they just can't restrain themselves. And Job was that way now. And that's why he said, he cursed his day. What day is he talking about? The day that he found out that he's going to be born. He didn't know it, but he said, I wish that day had never come. That's what he's talking about. Let the day perish wherein I was born. Let that day never have existed. Let the night it was said a man's child's conceived, don't let that happen. Now you can imagine how suffering a man is in his mind when he's going through these things. When a person's soul suffering and their soul is suffering, they sometimes express themselves in words and they go overboard in it, and that's what Job is doing here. He's going overboard with his language. It's like a flood, you know, like a flood that comes down, it breaks, it banks, and then it just runs all over the place. and it can't express itself. Look over here in Psalm 39 with me. Look what David said over here. And I'm sure that Job felt the same way. It's hard to imagine a man talking the way he's talking after he couldn't express himself calmly. This is the language of a soul that's suffering and suffering intently. But look what he said here in verse 39, that David did. He said, I said, I will take heed to my ways and sin not with my tongue. Said, I'm just not going to open my mouth. He said, I'll keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. He said, I'm not going to talk. That's why he said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. He said, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good. And then my sorrow was stirred up, and my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. And that's what happened to Job here. He was just, you know, he had been so silent, suffered so intently in himself, and it had to break out. It just had to come out. It had to come out. And oh my, would any of us, if we went through what Job went through, would we say anything less than what he said, you reckon? Huh? You know, we'd like to think that we would be Job at his very best. But Job's a man just like the rest of us. And that's what James said. Job was a man in like passions with us. Like passions with us. And Job's suffering caused him to declare to wish that he had never, ever been born. Wished it had never been brought into existence. Look what he says down there now in verse 11. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why didn't I just go ahead and die while I was a baby? If I'd have died when I was a baby, I wouldn't be where I am now, is what he's saying. If I hadn't come into existence, I would not go through what I'm going through. I wouldn't have children to lose. I wouldn't have substance to be destroyed. I wouldn't have a wife to turn on me. I wouldn't have servants to die. I wouldn't have any of this heartache and trouble and grief that I'm going through if I hadn't been born. If I hadn't been born. Oh, the fact that he existed at all troubled him. Look back up in verse 3. He said, let the day perish wherein I was born. Let that day just be wiped out of existence. And the night, let the night, when it was said, this man child is conceived, let it not be a day like that. Let it be a day of darkness. He said, oh my, I wished I'd have never come into being, never opened my eyes, never felt an impression, never conceived a thought. That's what he's saying. He said, I would 1,000 times never to have been at all than to be what I am now and what I'm enduring right now. That's what he's talking about. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Now I know what it is to wish you'd never been born. I know what that is. I know what it is to dread going to bed at night because you have to lay there and not be able to sleep. And also know what it is to dread to get up in the morning and have to face a day and don't know if you can make it through that day or not. I know what it is to be put away and not have no hope of ever getting out of anything. So I can kind of a little bit identify with Job. And then he says, why did he not die at the day of his being? Look what he says in verse 12. He said, why did I give up the ghost when I came out of my mother's belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now I should have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, and then I had been rest. He said, why didn't I just go ahead and die? He said, why was my mother's lap, that's what he's talking about, why was my mother's laps and breast ready for me? To lay in her lap and suck her breast when I came into the world. If that hadn't happened, I would have lain still. I would have been at rest. That's what he's saying. I would have been at rest. I wouldn't go through what I'm going through right now. You know, suffering, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I hope you never do. Suffering can make existence intolerable. When you lose all capacity to enjoy life. And there's a lot of people go through that every single day. Their suffering makes existence intolerable, and they lost the capacity to enjoy life. That's a sad state to be. Doc Stone told me this morning about a musician, 21 years old, wonderful piano player, gifted man, very, very gifted, 21 years old, killed himself. That means his life became intolerable to him. He didn't want to live anymore. That's what we're talking about. What kind of suffering would he going through that would make him taste his life? Huh? Steve and I knew a young man, very young man. I think he was just still a teenager. Lived right across the street where Bruce Crabtree lives now, and Steve used to live there. Just a young man, just a teenager. Sat in my backyard, me and him and Scott Richardson were talking. He went home and went in his closet. I think it was his closet. I don't remember right. But anyway, he took a rope and put it around his neck as a teenage boy and hung himself. And he was so worried to die that it was too low for him to actually hang. So he just let himself drop until he quit living. Yeah, that's what Job's saying here. I wished I'd have never, my suffering so great, I wished I'd have never, ever come into this world. And I can understand that, what he's going through. He lost everything. What, imagine losing 10 kids at one time. We weep and cry over taking one person to the graveyard. You weep and cry over mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Oh, my brethren and sisters in Christ. Shed a bucket of tears over them. And Job said, oh my, if I'd have just been able to come out of the womb and laid down and rested right then and there. But my mother had a lap. It was waiting for me. Her breasts were waiting for me. I thought I wished it hadn't happened. That's what he said. Oh my. And I tell you, desire for death is no proof of having real religion. Lots of unregenerate men die rather than live and suffer. And I tell you, tell you something else about his suffering that caused him to do. This is strange. I tell you, it's strange. Especially after how I preached this morning. But his suffering caused him to bless the condition of the dead. He said, oh my, them that are dead, I wished I was with them. That's what he says. Look what he says down here, starting in verse 13. For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves. Or with princes that had gold who filled their houses with silver. Or as in hidden untimely birth, I had not been. As infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling. There the weary are at rest. There the prisoners rest together, and they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. He looks earnestly. I tell you, he looks earnestly at the grave. And he talks about it as a resting place. A place where he could just be free from everything that would happen in his life. And he looks at death as a real, real rest. And you know, nothing affects man that's in the grave. Nothing, absolute nothing affects him. They don't hear nothing. They don't feel nothing. There's nobody telling them where to go. Nobody telling them what to do. Nobody's oppressing anybody anymore. Nothing can disturb the dead. And that's what he was talking about. I wished I could just be like everybody's already gone and I could just go to rest. He was envious at him. He looked death as something that was so common. He said, I'll be with the kings and the counselors. Princes, I'll be with those princes that had lots of gold and silver. I'll be with the illustrious and I'll be with the obscure. It's common to all of us. You see, it said it's all a leveler. And I tell you what, when you look at what Job went through here, how fleeting and temporal are all earthly distinctions. You know, down here we have earthly distinctions. Have titles and property and recognition for this and recognition for that. And we have lots of things. And people have these great titles and these doctors and all that, and they have all these things. But all these earthly distinctions, they're going to fade away. You know, there's all different types of flowers and all sizes of flowers, all kinds of shapes of flowers, all different colors of flowers in the world. But every one of them pass away. And in 100 years, everything will just be dust. And I tell you, it's absurd to be proud of mere earthly creatures and greatness. You know, I remember Herman. I don't know if y'all know, any of y'all know anything about the tie dock down in Clifty? They used to take timber off the mountain down there, and they had a train that went through there to take timber off of there and coal out of down in there. There's over 100 houses there. Over 100 houses. Train tracks gone, and there's no evidence that anybody ever lived there. And then down at Jumping Branch, I don't know if y'all know where Jumping Branch is. It's just a little old branch. You go across a little old branch and go up a big hill. That's where Herman lived when he was growing up. They had a community house there. Houses was everywhere. They had pie suppers where they'd auction off people's pies to raise money. And they'd have dances down there. They had a big time back in them days. You go to Jumping Branch right now and you can't tell if anybody ever existed there. Nobody. That's kind of hard to imagine, ain't it? And that's kind of what... That's why he said, you know, Job said, listen, I had it all. I had everything. And now I ain't got nothing. So you can understand his language to some degree. We may not say it outwardly, but I tell you, most of us have said some pretty awful things in our mind, in our heart, and asked some pretty tough questions. Ain't we? Oh, my. But I tell you what, Job's telling us the foolishness of making earthly interest supreme. You know, he said, Job knew what it was to have material pleasures, but he don't have it anymore. Job knew what it was to have material distinction. They said, he's the wealthiest man in the East. Job knew what materialism was. He had houses, he had lands, he had servants. He had herd after herd after herd. And then they was gone. And a multitude had it before he did, and a multitude will have that stuff after he's gone. But how soon it'll all be over. And that's why Job said, a grave will put an end to all this for me. It'll put an end to this suffering for me. It'll put an end to this grief to me. It'll put an end to my hurting to me. It'll put an end to the end of my suffering. It'll put an end to it. And oh my, then he asked a question. Look to these questions, he said. Down in verse 19, what a question. In verse 20, wherefore is light given to him that's in misery, and life unto him that's bitter in soul? Oh my, Why in the world do I have light in a miserable? I have this miserable life, a misery right now. Why is God giving me light in this misery? I don't want light. I don't need light. He said, why in the world would God even do anything for me in such misery? Why is light given to him? I'm so miserable right now. That's what he's saying. And oh, he said, life unto the bitter. Why is life given to those men? Why is life given to those who are got such a bitter, bitter, bitter soul? And the great question in these words of Job are, why should God continue the existence of a miserable, miserable man? Why? Let me ask you, do you think God has pleasure in the suffering of His creature? I don't think He has pleasure in the suffering of His creature. Are the groans, the sighs, the anguish, the cries enjoyable to God's ear? No, 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 no. No. God was his only hope. God was good to him. God was gracious to him. And he understood that. But you know, like I said this morning, great spiritual suffering or great sufferings are spiritually good for the suffering. Let me show you something over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at this together. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, great sufferings are often spiritually good for the suffering. Like I said this morning, David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. And you'll find out it's going to be good for Job after this is all over for Job. God's not treating him this way. He said God, he gave all the glory to God. And I tell you, God's too good to be unkind, too wise to be wrong, to do wrong. So why then? Look what he said here in verse 8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. That means pay attention. Don't act a fool. Be vigilant. Pay great attention. Be watching around. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you remember that they had God and him had two conversations over Job? Two conversations. He was worshiping one day and here comes Satan. You consider, what are you going for? Say, I'm walking to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. God said, if you consider my servant Job a perfect and an upright man, and he hates evil, he said, listen, I'll make him cuss you to your face. Just take down that hedge. He said, go ahead, have at it. And God turned Satan loose on him. And I tell you what, I hope he never turns him loose on me. But look what it says here. In verse 9, you resist him steadfast in the faith. Don't resist him by your flesh. Don't resist him by your power. Don't resist him by your thoughts. Resist him by faith. Faith in God. Faith in Christ. Faith in God's blessed word. Resist him in the faith. Knowing this, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that in the world. People that even out in the world, they go through trouble. But now listen to this now. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. Listen. After that you've suffered a while, just a while, he'll make you perfect. He will establish you. He'll strengthen you. And he'll settle you right down. He'll make you steady. He'll make you. And that's why Job is what he's going through here. I can understand it. I really, really can. And because you got to look at how he's doing it. You know, and I'll tell you, suffering teaches us the evil of sin, the vanity of life, and it'll develop character in us. It'll develop character. And let me tell you this. You know, sufferings like what Job is going through are awful useful to those that's watching you. Spiritually, a spiritual spectator. Somebody's watching you. No matter what you go through, somebody's watching you. If you're going through a great trial, somebody's watching you. How are they going to react to this? That's why it's so hard to deal with Job over this particular subject. But you know, and people are conscious. People who are suffering great spiritually, they're conscious of somebody watching them. They're conscious that, how am I going to glorify God in this situation? How am I going to honor God in this? Am I going to let God down? Am I going to shame God? Am I going to embarrass God? And oh my. And when you see somebody going through this, and then you watch them go through these things, it moves your heart to compassion. I feel sorry for Job. I hate what Job's going through. When he went through all those things that day, I just can't imagine. I can't get my mind around it. One thing I asked God to do, and I was a very young man, when I first started having babies, and they was little, I said, God, please don't take my children, because I just, one thing I don't believe I can handle, one thing I don't believe I can deal with is losing a child. And bless His name, it hadn't happened yet. I don't think I could deal with that. I don't think I could have. But I don't know. I know people that have. I know people in this congregation that has. And I know one thing, that they suffered. I mean, they hurt. They hurt very much. And there wasn't a whole thing, lot you could do to relieve them. Only God could do that. But when you see people go through these things, it moves your heart to compassion. Sympathy. Oh, what can I do to help you? They're not going to just ask, what can I do to help you? You go to help. If you don't do nothing but sit in the house and sit there and look at them. Those people, that's what they do when somebody dies or something. They just go and sit with them. Not say a word. Just sit there. What are you going to say? Oh my. We want to relieve them as much as possible. And I tell you what, when you see somebody go through something like that, it causes you to be thankful to God that they can get through it, God can uphold them, and that you can maybe help them just a little. And let me give you some facts that we learned from this here. Now, Satan done what happened to Job. They had two conversations. God and Satan did. And God let him take all these possessions. And then He says, you can have Job, but don't take his soul. You can have his body, but don't take his life. So everything that happened to Job, it was because of God letting Satan loose on him. And the greatest power the devil have is capable of exerting on a man is seen right here. All these afflictions come on Job through that wicked one, through Satan himself. God let him. God gave him permission. Go ahead. And what did he do? What did he do? What was he capable of doing with all the power he used on Job? What was he capable of doing? Well, I tell you one thing he didn't. He didn't destroy Job's life. You know why he didn't destroy his life? And he didn't annihilate Job's life. He can't give life and he can't take life. Only God can give life and only God can take life. And he didn't destroy Job's worship of God. He didn't destroy Job's desire for God, his knowledge of God, his need for God, his worship of God. He didn't destroy that either. You know what he expected to do? He said, oh, listen, when I get through with him, he's going to look at you and going to raise both fists and going to cuss you out for what's happened to him. That's what he said. But what did he, after he said he'd curse, you know what Job did? Shaved his head, rent his mantle, got down on his face and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord gave and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't cuss God. That's after Satan done all that. And then Satan comes along. and comes again the next time. And he says, let me get it skin for skin. If you'll let me get in his body, I'll make him do it this time. He'll turn against you. He said, go ahead. And the scripture says, Satan come and smote him with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And you know, boils, I used to get them all the time. And I'm telling you what, you imagine them being all over your body. And pus running out of them, blood running out of them. And they itching and they scream out in pain and agony, no relief. So he just sat down in ashes and kept his mouth shut. Amidst all these words of Job, I want you to notice this. There's no accusation. There's no irreverence for God in anything he says. He just talks about, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I wasn't where I'm at. I wish I wasn't going through what I'm going through. What then could Satan do to him? Well, he made his life miserable. Made his life intolerable. Made his existence miserable. That's all in the world he could do. That's all he could do. He can't do no more than that. And you know what God did for him? This goes to show you how strong he really was in faith, even though he was talking like this. In all of his sufferings, he never blamed God one time for anything he went through. Not one time. Not one time. And I tell you what, look what he says right there at the end. Down in verse 23, let me read these to you and then I'll close. He said in verse 23, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? Hid from him? I mean, I don't know my way and whom God hath fenced in. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. I just weep and weep and weep. Now listen to this. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. So evidently he greatly feared these things coming on him. He feared losing his possessions. He feared losing his children. He feared some things. He greatly feared some things. And that which I greatly feared has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of has come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I cried. Quiet, yet trouble came. Trouble came. Don't look for it. Don't ask for it. But it'll come sooner or later. But I tell you, just remember this. I know I didn't do justice to what Job was going through. But remember this. It's the voice of a man that's suffering and suffering greatly. Our Father, our Lord and our God, in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we try to express what this poor man was going through. And yet I know nothing of the sufferings he's went through. Nothing. I know what it is to suffer, but nothing like him. Everybody in this building knows what it is to suffer. To have great, great grief. But yet, Lord Jesus, we've never, ever been where he has and where he was. And oh Lord, we know that we'll go to our resting place one of these days. And please give me wisdom to deal with your word. Give me understanding to deal with your word. And take what's been said tonight and cause it to be profitable to all of us. To make Christ to be everything. To make this world just to be a place where we have to live and make a living. And thank you for our homes. Thank you for our health. Thank you for the blessed hope you've given us. Thank you for the strength you give us through our trials. Thank you for the love that's manifested to us through the grace of God. And our Lord, bring glory to yourself through every single one of us. Which is the best way that seemeth good to you. Lord, we're in your hands. Every soul here, every home here. every person that's represented, and every home that's represented. Lord, we're in your hands. And we believe, really truly believe, that you'll do exactly what's best for us. And what will you get the most glory from us from. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. It's like we sang tonight, I am thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord. And so, Lord, here we are. We give ourselves away to you. In Christ's blessed name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'll see you Wednesday, God willing.